also professor emeritus of religion and social transformation at the Iliff School of Theology in Denver. We will link to all our broadcasts of interviews with Dr. Vince Harding. That does it for our broadcast. If you'd like a copy, go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke and Aphel Sorrent, Nirmeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Akwafani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman-Vanamata.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Today we'll have an Election Day roundup, plus we'll talk about gay marriage in Oregon.
It takes a certain strength of character to be able to stand up and say, I don't believe in the norm. This is actually what I believe. I know it's completely different and out of whack with what most people are doing. There's so many more undiscovered stories of what KBOO has done in people's lives, what it has meant to Portland. This radio station has had a ripple effect that we don't even know.
Start writing your KBOO story and see what ripples out. Come to our next volunteer orientation on Wednesday, May 21st, from 7 to 9 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, here at your community radio station, KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 14th Annual Village Building Convergence from Friday, May 23rd, to Sunday, June 1st. The Village Building Convergence is a 10-day placemaking and urban permaculture festival that leaves a permanent, sustainable impact all across the city as an expression of what communities all across the city are ready to do in their own places. The VBC brings together a vast spectrum of related initiatives such as community currency, grassroots democracy, ecological design, youth engagement, social justice in action, ecological stewardship, multimodal transportation, and so much more. This year's evening speakers and performers will be at the Sunnyside Methodist Church, 3520 Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. A list of speakers and more information about the Village Building Convergence in general can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Shalom, tell you right now, you better watch and think about this soul. Be careful how you vote, y'all.
Well, you know, today's what is formally known as election.
Wait, be careful how you vote.
How you vote.
Okay.
Careful.
All right.
How you vote.
Or is someone watching?
Yeah. It's election day, although most people have probably mailed in their ballots, and most people have already probably made their commitments, but you and I will not be deterred, nevertheless. I actually feel very guilty. I want to this. Oh, I should say all the stuff. I didn't say the stuff. KBOO, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris. We're both here. The number to call us at 231-8187. Now, I feel guilty because I didn't spend enough time really talking about this water measure.
We've talked about it quite a bit.
Well, but not enough. And here's the deal.
Okay.
When you start examining the history of Bull Run and you start examining the history of the water issue in the Northwest, as water becomes a more and more valuable resource, we have to pay more and more attention to this issue. The measure that is on the ballot pleased a lot of people because they are furious, and for good reason, I think, with the way in which the city council has behaved in operating the water and the way in which the Water Bureau has operated.
Are you suggesting that that was the impetus behind this measure?
Unfortunately.
That it is a populist rejection of city government's practices?
No. I suggest that there is a populist support for this measure, which was, I think, fundamentally naive.
So this is a wolf in sheep's clothing then?
I think so.
This is something else operating behind a populist mask?
Yes.
Huh. And what is that?
Well, it's really a way for corporate dominance of our water system, for creating a seemingly democratic way of dealing with the water, and which in fact will create an obscure body that will be running the water system and the sewer system outside of the control of the city government, outside of the auditing process of the city government, in fact, outside of any processes of checks and balances that are traditional.
Well, one might argue that the fact that the people have to run for election to serve on this governing board and then subsequently have to run for re-election, one would say or could argue that the will of the voters is a check on this new body.
Well, one could argue that, but...
One would be wrong?
One would be wrong, because what happens in this kind of an election... For example, do you know who's on your... who's on your Multnomah Water Board?
No idea.
Who's... Yeah, right.
No, not the slightest
and
clue.
And whenever you vote, you'll notice there's a whole bunch of things you get to vote on, where there's maybe one candidate. You have no idea what the hell they are. If you engage in it, you either write in your own name or somebody else's name, or you vote for whoever it is if you happen to know who they are. And this is a pattern. Democracy, that is the set of choices that are available to you, don't always function as democracy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And this is an example of that. What you have to do whenever you're looking at anything like this is, number one, actually read the measure.
Okay.
Which I'm going to do.
Okay.
And on top of that, you have to see where the money came from. My position on all of these initiatives, mm-hmm, and referendums and recalls, mm-hmm, which all of which I believe should exist, is that no one should be paid to take the petitions around. It should be an all-volunteer effort.
Aren't you making sort of a meta argument here?
Meta? Who's she?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're arguing about the mechanics of signature gathering, and I'm in agreement with you. How does that bear on this measure?
Well, it bears on this measure because whenever you see a measure on a ballot or a candidate, for that matter, you need to ask who's sponsoring it. Where's the money coming from? And that tells you a lot about what the intention is.
You would ask that question irrespective of the fact or of whether or not signature gatherers are being paid, wouldn't you? If it was an all-volunteer signature effort, you would still be asking, where is the money coming from?
Well, but what would be the money? You wouldn't have...
Advertisements?
Yeah, advertisements are legitimate free speech. But when you are paying people, and I've had this happen to me. I was riding on a Max not so long ago, and a guy came up, you know, young guy, and he was pushing some, I can't remember what the measure was. And I said, so what's this measure about? Well, he really couldn't tell me. He wanted my signature. And then I asked him, well, are you being paid to do this? Well, yeah.
Okay.
So I said, so you don't know what it is, but you're pushing. In fact, he had three or four petitions.
Well, what I'm saying is I want to hear you criticize the meat of this measure rather than the methods by which signatures were gathered.
All right, let's get to the measure itself. But I think the meta argument is the key, actually.
Is it? Oh, okay.
That is to say, if you want to have a democratic process for initiative, recall, and so on, referendum, then you've got to take money out of the process. It's perfectly okay to have advertising. That's, again, free speech. But you can't pay the people who go around collecting signatures, because that means it's a job in a desperately needed job market for people who have no stake in the matter.
All right, I'll concede that point.
So take that away. If you really care about something, you should go around with the petition yourself. Spend your off hours on it.
Yeah.
And that would be democratic. And that would make change real, rather than being something kind of superficially seeming real, but in actuality part of a vast effort by somebody with money.
Man, you got to get with the times here. The Supreme Court has repeatedly indicated that money is speech.
The Supreme Court has betrayed the Constitution of the United States.
So when you come out against paid signature gatherers, I have just been forced to ask, why do you hate America so much?
Well, I don't know how to answer that, except I love America. I want to read you this measure, because I really think people have not read it. And this is long, and it's tedious, and I'm sorry.
That's fine. I just want to make sure we have some time to talk about gay marriage today, because
I'm all
fired up about that.
You're all fired up about gay marriage?
Yes. Yes.
Why do you care?
Well, we'll get to that.
All right. All right. City of Portland proposed by initiative petition. 26156 amends charter, creates water and sewer district with elected board. Question. Shall Portland create district not subject to any... Can you read this? I can't even see it. I'm old. Oh, God. I didn't bring my...
I don't know if I can make it any more exciting. Okay. All right, measure 26156. Good question. Shall Portland create a district not subject to city council control with elected board transfer city water sewer services to it? I guess we've decided to do away with words like, you know, the and a.
Yes.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Here's the summary. Measure creates water and sewer district outside city council or city auditor supervision. Transfers control of water and sewer operations and assets to board of 7 uncompensated members elected initially by plurality vote for 3-year terms from zones approximating Portland Public School zones. The area outside Portland Public School District is not addressed. Board fills board vacancies by appointment. Persons disqualified as board candidates, and then it goes on to list those people.
Well, no, it's important. That list is amazing.
Well, because of the way the syntax is set up here, I'm sort of giving a behind-the-scenes sort of. All right. So here's who are the people disqualified as board candidates. Persons holding any elected position. Persons formerly working or contracting with city related to water and sewer. Current district contractors and employees. And then the measure goes on to say, earlier city employment disqualifies lawyer or auditor to work for the district. Board can legislate, create civil and criminal liability,
civil and criminal liability.
Yes. Hire and fire employees, set rates, adopt budgets, provide for financial audits, purchase and condemn property. Whoa.
Borrow purchase funds, and condemn property.
Create city sewer and water bond liability, so go into debt.
Bond liability, yeah. Yes.
Assess properties for water and sewer local improvement districts.
That's more money from your pocket.
Indeed. We should make the very obvious point that you can't do this sort of thing for free,
no.
Right? Okay.
No.
City water and sewer employees transfer to the district. So they're going to take everybody currently working for the city water and sewer district and go to work for this new district.
Right.
District cannot mix Bull Run water except with water from existing well field without emergency. Cannot make watershed regulations less, quote, protective, and those quotes are actually there, by undefined standard. Cannot take certain other actions.
Wait, certain other actions?
Cannot take certain other actions. And then the final sentence of the summary is other provisions.
Well, what does that mean,
other provisions? I don't know. That's the entirety of the sentence, other provisions.
Now, see, those last things there, that's the legalese for we can do anything we want.
Yeah, that's like when, you know, you get a job and the last thing listed under duties is other duties as assigned.
Right.
Yeah, that's what this is.
That's exactly
other
what
duties
that is.
As assigned.
Right. Shoot the mayor or whatever. Listen, this is a classic example of carefully written legalese, which is a layer disguising what this really is, which is a way to control the water system outside of the purview of the American community.
Now, this it would seem that this measure does not privatize the water system.
No.
So earlier you asked, where is the money coming from? So I'm going to ask you now, where is the money coming from?
Well, it turns out that the money to get the petition signing came from large water users, including large polluters. Now, what
the chip fabrication industry?
Yeah, the chip fabrication
industry. And brewers.
And the brewers and the soft drink people.
And the soft drink people.
Well, who use a lot of water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, their product's mostly water. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what it comes down to is it gives them a lot of power. Because here's what happens. Let's say it passes. Well, you got these districts. At each district, you get to vote for your woman or man, okay? But you don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're serving. They don't know what's going on. All of the expertise that has been gathered over the years is gone because anyone who has had any experience in Portland area in the water business, engineers and so on, they can't work for this outfit. They can't advise this outfit.
Hmm.
They can't get elected to its board.
Hmm.
So it's a whole new naive game.
So you're getting rid of a board that is presumably knowledgeable about what it does, about how to govern a water and sewer district.
Yeah, well, I won't defend the city council, but yes. Okay,
well, presumably they have some working knowledge of what they're doing. And you're going to create this board that by definition excludes those people.
Yes.
And replaces it with a group of elected folks who may or may not know what they're doing or who may or may not represent the interests of very large water users.
Right. And in addition, there's a whole area of Portland that isn't included in the voting process.
So it seems to me that you're saying that the populist anger that is animating support for this measure mm-hmm. might be better focused on working to revamp the problems that they see with city government rather than creating a brand new water.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. I think there is a real problem with city government. I think there is a real back in the day when Eric Sten was the new bright young boy on the mm-hmm. city council, there was a plan put together to amalgamate all of the water districts in the region, Tigard, mm-hmm. Beaverton, all mm-hmm. of them, and to scoop up water from the Willamette River, dead fish water, toxic water, together with possibly Columbia River water, radioactive water, and bring it all together in one very rational giant water district and make Bull Run just a part of that. Now, historically, Bull Run was in a unique situation, which had enormous acreage to protect it. And it had a gravity flow system. It was just a lucky genius thing. The water flows downhill. Mm-hmm. The water flows into reservoirs. The water is pumped. It's not even pumped. It doesn't have to be pumped for the most part because of gravity into your faucet.
It literally comes down the mountain.
Comes down the mountain. Okay. Now, looking back to 1996... where this issue was first raised, Administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Carol Bronner, addressed the Portland City Club on a new generation of environmental protection, and she assumed the fine. She assumed, she seemed a fine person to talk about this. There's a guy named Ralph Crenshaw who followed the water issue, who goes into great detail about what's really going on at that time, which was to blend waters and to make a less pure and a less significant system. And fortunately, all the cities around, the people there rejected this idea.
Hmm.
They prefer to buy water from Bull Run and keep their water relatively pure.
That was probably a good move.
This measure, had it passed back then, would have created a really bad system. Now, the measure that people are voting on today does protect Bull Run and does assure everybody that there are only two sources of that water. Number one is the Frank Ivancy Wells, the emergency wells mm-hmm. in the Columbia Water area, which, by the way, have their own problems because that was an area where aluminum was manufactured for years.
So we have this well field there in case of drought or water emergency of some kind.
Well, it gets used a lot, actually.
Okay.
But it's not Bull Run water.
Right.
So Bull Run is the preferred source. Now, I feel that people, particularly good people, particularly people concerned with the empowerment of the citizenry, who have been outraged by the general behavior of the Water Bureau and of the City Council, specifically Randy Leonard, who was in charge of the Bureau. You know, these wasteful projects, the stupid water house, the insane use, the insane and inappropriate use of water tax monies for all kinds of projects, are reacting to that and saying, okay, well, we'll create a whole new district. We'll create a whole new thing.
So this is misplaced anger.
Well, I think it is misplaced. I think the anger should go toward the City Council. I think we have an antiquated system of city government. You know, back in a long time ago, during the Progressive era, there were two new forms of city government created. There was one called the Galveston Plan, which we sort of follow after a great hurricane destroyed the city of Galveston, Texas, which essentially creates a very weak mayor and a powerful small city council at large.
Mm. And that's what we've got.
That's what we've got. Mm. The other plan is to create a manager system, like San Diego has, where a city manager runs the city. Actually, I think Astoria has the same plan. And the government hires or fires the manager.
Hmm.
Now, the problem with the manager system is that managers are working their way up. They'll start out in a town that is, let's say, 50,000. And then they'll try to get a job in a town that's 100,000. And so on until they get the highest possible wages at the largest possible spot. So their ambition is not about the local. Their ambition is about their career.
Hmm.
That's a problem. Now, the other problem, the other side, is what we have, which is a city council that essentially, until very recently, was just the same rubber stamp bunch serving the interests of the ruling class of the city. And that's bad, too. The only way that I can see to really improve this would be to create a city council that maybe was district-based, go back to a system that existed in Portland prior to this so-called reform.
And this would require amending the city charter?
Yes.
Okay.
This would be a major change.
It would be a plebiscite, essentially.
Yes, I'm not clear about how to do it or how to make it better, but it would be much more thoughtful than this reactive measure.
Well, okay, to play devil's advocate for just a moment, despite its weaknesses and drawbacks, our form of city government has managed to create a community that sets something of a standard around the country and the world for things like sustainability and utilization of bike transport and on and on and on.
All those sweetie things.
Yeah.
Well, it does, and that's true. It is also, unfortunately, a system that allows for really questionable processes. People are virtually appointed to the city council. The choice of Randy Leonard chose one of the members of the council right now, for example. He anointed somebody. It's a good guy, but he anointed somebody.
Hmm.
And that is very easy to do when you have this at-large council. And it has always been an insider's game.
That's true. And you could also argue that an at-large council prevents the election of minority candidates, for example.
Well, that's a very good example. The last person of color was Charles Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago. And what we really do have is an unrepresentative city government. So it's understandable why people would become more and more angry as their water bills go up. Now, most people don't really understand what's happening with the water bill. Because there are these terribly stupid expenses that are emphasized by the people who want to change the water system, people are outraged. You know, there are all these things, a water house, this, that, misusing of the monies. The answer, therefore, to many people is, well, change the whole system. The fact of the matter is the greater expenses that we're all bearing in consequence to federal regulations and genuine environmental concerns are unavoidable. The big pipe, there was no choice. We had to find a way to move sewerage away from the Willamette River.
Yuck. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what the big pipe on both sides of the river is about. And that was very expensive.
Okay. So the factors that are driving the increase in rates are practical considerations far more than they are the sort of ephemeral things that have gotten people so angry.
Right.
The water house and appropriating water and sewer monies for other purposes.
Exactly. So, none of which should have happened.
None of it, of course, yes. But even absent those things, we would still be seeing a significant increase in our rates because of these unavoidable tasks.
And we are going to. Now, this gets complicated here because another thing that is part of the sewer system is cleaning up the Willamette River, which is toxically horrible coming out from World War II on,
yeah.
where industry just dumped its you-know-what into the river.
Yeah, well, much of that stretch from the Fremont Bridge downstream past Swan Island is a Superfund site.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nasty.
And it's got to be cleaned up. Yeah. And the only way to pay for it, really, is through the water and sewer money.
Yeah, well, that's its own can of worms, because I maintain that the people who fouled it up ought to be the ones to clean it up.
Exactly. In a system where corporate monies are responsible for what they do, they would be paying for it. And this measure, as proposed, would totally avoid that issue. Right now, even with the system we have, they're going to be able to avoid the issue.
Mm.
So I'm really just very, I feel like we haven't really, because it's complicated, because there's a lot of issues involved, because, and other matters. Over the years, the Bull Run watershed has been compromised again and again and again. All kinds of reasons for being concerned about our water system. Along comes this measure. It doesn't really address any of those concerns, but it exploits those concerns. Mm-hmm. And in the measure, just, oh, okay, we'll get the city council out of it. We'll get politics. This, I love this. Get politics out of the water business. Yeah,
well, good luck with that.
Well, good luck with that indeed. And I felt really bad about this, because on the one hand, there's no question in my mind the city council has not handled the water thing well. And on the other hand, this new measure would simply empower, because it would create these obscure districts, would empower the big water users.
Yes. And this measure does nothing to address the real problem, which, of course, are kids peeing in the reservoir on Mount Tabor.
And then there was the effort to convince us that the reservoirs need to be covered.
Oh, that was that's a
whole city. Lot. The city has not fought as hard as New York City or Rochester, New York, who have fought and successfully held off the process of covering their water storage. So we're gonna spend a fortune on water storage. Now, one of the problems about putting the water in a tank is that you have a potential because there's no sunlight striking it, for really nasty microorganisms.
Mm-hmm.
That's really real.
Sunlight really is the best disinfectant.
Absolutely the best disinfectant. Or oxygenation, where you slam the water against a wall of concrete or steel, putting a huge amount of oxygen into the water.
It's also very dramatic.
Oh, and it looks cool.
Should we take some calls?
Let's take some calls.
And then we'll talk about gay marriage.
Yeah, but I do want to make sure we leave room for gay marriage.
Yes, we should all leave room for gay marriage.
All right, 231-8187.
John, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah.
Boy, you covered a lot of ground there.
Well, I'm sorry. I feel very guilty, because we have covered this. We did have Floy on. We did talk about it, but I don't think we did as much work as we should have done.
Well, it's hard to cover everything that needs to be covered. You brought up the fact about signature gathering, and I just wanted to comment on my personal experience with that. I did get paid as a signature gatherer, collecting signatures to abolish the death penalty. That was immediately after 9/11.
Uh-huh.
So that was definitely a very interesting and uphill battle. I was glad that I was getting paid, because I would not have been able to do it otherwise. And I had some very interesting conversations. There were people that would, you know, scream at me to just string them up, shoot them. And there were people that would tell me, oh, thank God you're here, and sign the petition. But most interestingly, from my perspective, are the people with whom I had genuine conversations with. And I was able to engage people whom were opposed to the death penalty, but who hadn't thought about it, in particular about the way that the death penalty was being imposed, mm-hmm. in an unfair manner based upon class, race, and money. So,
well, yeah, and I agree with you about the death penalty, by the way. And I think Abe does,
I do, yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just wanted to comment on that, is I would not have been able to.
Oh, because of your financial situation, the only way you could have helped would have been the way you were helping with being paid.
Exactly. And honestly, you know, I'm a progressive, I'm a liberal, and there's sometimes when you can look on the left and there's almost like a little bit of a boutique existence. If you have enough money, you can afford to enact your ideals. And you can see that. I'm not going to name the organization, but there was a organization that was doing good work around environmental causes, and they were going to have an event. and they were seeking large donors at this event. And the poor people could contribute by serving the rich people who were going to be doing the donating. And I actually found that pretty distasteful, because I think that we're all in this together. And as much as I appreciate that if somebody's got the money to give that they're able to, I think that the reinforcement of the class structure within the progressive community itself is actually notably problematic.
Well, and I agree with
you. Hard to argue with that.
And it's really, as Abe says, it's hard to argue with that. I just feel, though, that what has happened is that basically, if I'm out of work and I need to make a little bit of money, I can go to work for any cause, whether I believe in it or not, or I can. I've seen people carrying four petitions around, you know. And how about, would you like to sign this one? How about that one? How about that one? Now, they no longer allow people to be paid by signature, which is an improvement, but they're still being paid by the hour to raise the those signatures, and that, I think, corrupts the system as well. But I think your point is good. Poorer people cannot afford to spend the time. They need to work constantly just to make the nut. And I don't have an answer to that. And I think you raise a good point.
I just wanted to mention that. And the other thing I just like to advocate that people do is to put the White House, Blumenauer, you know, put your representatives, put your senators, put them on your speed dial. And then when you listen to places like KBOO and there's a notable issue, use your speed dial. That takes all of like a minute or two to get through and place a comment and at least do the little bit that you can that doesn't, you know, doesn't require that you be wealthy in order to act. And thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you. And I think the speed dial suggestion is great.
Yeah. Yeah, except, you know, when you accidentally call Senator Wyden instead of your girlfriend because he's on speed dial. But hey, thank you for the call.
I'm not going there. You know. What would you say to Wyden? It would be in? Never mind. Okay. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to, I couldn't let this go. I know most of you have already voted, but there are some of you who will be voting today. Hopefully.
Right. Right.
I believe people should vote. And I wanted to get my word out on this issue.
Well, okay. I think you did that.
By the way, I felt very angry, actually, that the suggestion that we weren't fair to the other side. We gave Floyd.
Yep. Most of a show, really.
Really? And, yeah. And I thought that was enough.
Indeed. Well, let's take another call and we'll talk about gay marriage.
Okay.
Okay. Who's next, Steve? Hey, Steve is next.
Yeah, my comment is, my first comment, I would like to say I think Amanda Fritz is not an insider. And the way she got on the council originally was through the public financing process.
That's right.
Right, we had for a brief period here.
And I think the city council, under her leadership, under her advocacy, is going to refer to the people an initiative to bring that back, which is the best thing we can do in the short term.
Okay.
That's a very good point.
I actually agree with that, and I think it's a good point. I also think that, given that we keep the same basic structure, that it's one of the few ways that might make it all work. But, of course, it was easy to argue that why should the people pay for the election of these candidates?
Well, it's the only way that people who are not insiders can actually have a chance under our current system, it seems. But
We agree with you, I think.
Yep.
My other comment is what really made me vote against 26156 was the fact that they wanted the Bureau of Environmental Services also, along with the water.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the spending under BES has been pretty good, actually. I think the big pipe has been the main factor for the sewer rates going up, and that was done pretty well, I think, by almost all accounts except for Floyd Jones. I mean, she's the only person who said that it didn't come in under time and under budget, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think BES has actually done pretty well. There's this office building where they may have spent a little much too much money. But
that's another example of stupid spending. But
it's only $10 million out of a $500 million budget. See?
Well, yeah.
So, okay. Well, I thought if it had been just water, I might have considered voting for it. But the fact they wanted both of them, I said no. So.
Yeah. Well, my general position on any measure is whose money is, you know, follow the money.
Yep. Who benefits?
Who benefits?
Yep.
Which is Latin, if
cui
I can
bono.
Remember it. Cui bono. Thank
yep.
you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right. Unless there's a bunch of people who want to talk about the water thing, I'd like to talk about the recent decision in the federal court here to
indeed.
Allow gay marriage.
And the table is still open for discussions about water.
Okay.
We're going to handle these two
but
topics.
But you wanted to talk about...
I did. Because, as you know, there has been a landslide of...
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
You're right. There is no biblical story about Adam and Steve. You are correct. Okay. There's been
the whole world was created in 6 days.
It was. And then
and only 6,000 years ago, so shut up.
There's been a landslide of both court decisions and successful ballot initiatives around the country that have legalized gay marriage in state after state after state. I don't know if there's been actually any legislative action that's resulted in gay marriage. I could be wrong about that, and please call me up and correct me if I am. But this is happening more and more and more.
Well, yeah.
Oregon just became the latest state yesterday when Judge Michael McShane overturned our ban on same-sex marriage.
Right.
So this is inevitably hastening the apocalypse, opening up our country to even more debauchery, degeneracy, and disease.
So let me wait. And, let me get this straight.
Terrorist attacks.
But let me get this straight. It is preferred by people who oppose gay marriage that gay people be forced into relationships that are impermanent.
Right.
Rather than having a dedicated and committed relationship.
That's absolutely right. And the gay marriage opponents say that this is an unprecedented attempt to redefine the institution of marriage. This will be corrosive to the most fundamental social unit in our society, the family, because what's more corrosive to families than, you know, creating families? It's terribly corrosive. And they're claiming, as I just mentioned, that this redefines marriage. So, by inference, one must conclude.
Well, it does redefine marriage.
It does redefine marriage.
Which is good, I think.
But gay marriage opponents, by and large, favor a more traditional form of marriage, which of course means that it is merely a means to ensure the inheritance of property, and that there's all sorts of leeway for the man in the marriage. If something goes wrong, for example, if his wife commits adultery, he can have her stoned to death. That's the kind of traditional marriage that opponents of gay marriage want. You know, and that's fine. You can want that. But in the words of federal judge Michael McShane, the realities of post-industrial life and the democratic era sort of preclude that traditional definition of marriage. Here's what he wrote. Because Oregon's marriage laws discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation without a rational relationship to any legitimate government interest, the laws violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. There it is.
Yeah.
There exists no legal, rational, or constitutional basis to deny marriage to one class of people while granting it to another class of people.
Right.
There is no defense.
No, I think this is a good thing. I think it's
it is.
I also think that people who find themselves frightened by extreme behavior by people they associate with gayness will find this a reassuring thing, because once you make an institution a part of the regular system, you see the more outlying behaviors being reduced.
Yeah.
And the kind of crazy reactionary stuff goes away.
Yep. Now, there's so many ironies and subtext to this whole conversation, and we'll get to some of those in a minute. But I just read you Judge McShane's language that justifies this legally and constitutionally. But he also wrote in his opinion, I think this is remarkable. Here's what Judge McShane wrote. I believe that if we can look for a moment past gender and sexuality, we can see in these plaintiffs nothing more or less than our own families, families who we would expect our Constitution to protect, if not exalt, in equal measure. With discernment, we see not shadows lurking in closets or the stereotypes of what was once believed. Rather, we see families committed to the common purpose of love, devotion, and service to the greater community. Where will this all lead, he writes. I know that many suggest we are going down a slippery slope that will have no moral boundaries. To those who truly harbor such fears, I can only say this. Let us look less to the sky to see what might fall. Rather, let us look to each other and rise.
Very, very pretty.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I agree with it. I think this whole issue, the resistance to it, has to do with the bizarre linkage with reactionary thought in America. You know, 30%, 40% of Americans believe that there's no evolution, that the entire universe is 6,000 years old, despite incredible evidence to the contrary. I mean, incredible evidence.
Overwhelming,
incontrovertible evidence. Yeah. You know,
do you believe me or do you believe your lying eyes? Come on.
Isn't the Earth the center of the universe? What's the deal? You know, All of that, and that is linked to a politics of fear and repression that essentially has allowed our society not to move forward on so many issues.
Indeed. And what's been happening, what's been crystallizing, I think, over the last couple of decades is that crowd really has gone on saying and believing what they have always said and believed. But there is not a consensus building now that exposes just how crazy and backward they really are. And I think as they feel their traditional world slipping farther and farther into the rearview mirror, their attempts to hold on to it will become more and more drastic and maybe even violent.
I think that's a reasonable fear. I mean, we already have violence done to persons who seek abortions or persons
yes.
who perform abortions.
Yeah.
I mean, this is part of a routine to make sure there's no clinics that can provide this service for women.
Yep. And we have gay men dragged to death behind pickup trucks.
Right.
Let's not forget.
Enough is enough of this
enough
nonsense.
Is enough. People are people. And if you want to get married, if you claim to be pro-family, if you claim to be pro-traditional values, what could be more traditional and more pro-family than two people who love each other getting married?
Really?
But apparently, according to the anti-gay marriage crowd, something weird happens when two men or two women get married. Their bodies emit this invisible radiation that somehow dissolves their traditional heterosexual marriage and renders it less meaningful or somehow redefines it out of existence such that, red-blooded American heterosexual men turn to their wives and look at them and say, I used to find you sexy, but now the gay people are getting married, and it's just not the same anymore.
Your image is bizarre, but okay.
Well, I mean, what else are they? If people who are saying my heterosexual marriage means nothing, if gay people can get married, what does that actually mean? There must be some actual measurable phenomenon that takes place, right?
Right.
They must actually be marriages dissolving somehow, right?
Well, another thing that happens is that people who are closeted in their own minds.
Yes.
About their sexual orientation, suddenly can frighteningly look at what their lives are like and maybe decide different.
Maybe so.
Maybe so. That's very scary.
It's almost like if we want to, we can choose what our society will be like.
And choose what our lives will be like.
Oh, God.
We can't have that.
Let me read this thing right here, and then we'll take some phone calls.
Okay.
Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, the guest is Jeremy Scahill talking about the national security beast.
Oh, Jeremy Scahill is my hero.
Yeah,
one of my heroes.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints features an update on the ongoing resistance to a giant naval base being constructed on Jeju Island. I don't know where Jeju Island is.
Jeju.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Is that the Philippines?
I don't know. And at 11 on stage and studio, host Dime Roberts presents a special one-hour documentary called Shake It! A look at the cultural love of taking Polaroid pictures. All this and more coming up today.
The cultural love of taking Polaroid pictures.
Oh, shake it like a Polaroid picture, Joe.
I don't even understand.
Yeah.
Is there still Polaroid cameras?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're pretty popular still. You can find film for them all.
Is that like selfies only permanent?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Think of all the scandals that exist documented in somebody's dresser drawer on Polaroid pictures over the decades.
Right.
I imagine. All right. Who's on the phone, Steve? Harry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
Yes, I have to respond against the Water Bureau. The water measure, and I voted yes for it, and I'm hoping everyone else would too.
Okay.
One of the reasons why it was brought up, this measure, was what happened about a year or two ago with the fluoride. And everyone remembers them trying to put fluoride, the city council trying to put fluoride in our water.
Right.
And they wouldn't listen to it, and they tried to do it anyway. So we have to take it. The Water Bureau away from the city council.
Wait a minute.
The only way we can do it. I know you fell for the opposition hook, line, and sinker, but I think most Portlanders won't fall for it. When you mentioned about the signature gathering, everyone knows the measure was put together by grassroots organization. And it was was put right after the fluoride issue. People were so mad. They didn't have to do too much signature gathering because people sent in their signatures by email or by mail. So we didn't fall. Second is Abe, you come from New York City, right?
No, I don't.
You used to live there, right?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you did.
No, I did.
Who?
Me, Joe.
Joe, you did, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm a New York boy.
But so aren't you used to that type of corruption of stealing money from city accounts? You're used to it. We're not.
Wait a minute. Okay, you're being a little silly, aren't you?
That type of crap. There's millions of dollars are being stolen from these accounts, and once when it passes, they do an audit. Our mayor and a few city councilors and quite a few people are going to be led away in handcuffs because of the millions of dollars they're going to discover that's missing.
Wait a minute. Where's these millions of dollars? What are you saying? I'm really not following
audit.
You here.
We need an audit, and the only way we can get an audit is if this measure passes.
You don't trust the city auditor to audit?
No.
Why not?
But also...
Wait a minute. What's wrong with an audit by the city government?
We have to take... Pardon me? Say that again.
What is wrong with an audit done by the auditor who we actually vote for, done by the city government?
They haven't done it. They refuse to do it.
They refuse to audit?
That's why we have to do it. Okay. But that's my version of what's going on. I know you fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Most of us haven't. So let's go back to the next subject of marriage.
Changing the topic. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay, the next topic is, the judge who ruled on this case, I saw on the news, he's gay.
So?
Shouldn't he have reclused himself?
He should have recused himself because he, in fact, is gay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wouldn't a straight judge, ought he not recuse themselves? You know, if you're going to have sexuality, you're going to either be gay or straight, right?
Or somewhere along in between. The continuum. Yeah.
Right. I mean, what's the what are the choices here?
Yeah. Also, why this is going to be challenged is the attorney general... did not support the ballot measure. She was supposed to write a brief on it, and she said, "No, I'm not." And so the judge only had one thing to look at was the lawsuit who was bringing it, and there was no reply.
Well, first of all, you're assuming somehow the judge is unconscious of the arguments involved. What I read in the opinion is a pretty well thought out argument. The question really is whether or not the 14th Amendment protects individuals in their decisions about who they want to partner with for life. And that's the only question. Everything else, it has to do with prejudices and values that are external to the rights that are guaranteed under the 14th Amendment.
They're not external. They're not external. They're included under those rights. If you don't want to marry someone of your own gender, then you are free to not marry someone of your own gender.
Or not marry.
Right.
But in the U.S. Constitution, marriage isn't in there.
No.
It's only in state constitutions.
Right.
That's true.
Okay. So there's an issue there also. Next is 311.
311. Oh, you lost me. 311.
Yeah. Okay, 311. That's instead of 9/11, we call it 311 when the nuke.
The anniversary of Fukushima.
Yeah. Oh, but on March, this March 311, mm-hmm. It fell on a Tuesday. It only falls on a Tuesday once every 6 years.
Okay, where are we going? Where are we going with this?
Well, when we turn on your program on 311 on this March, you guys didn't talk about it. In fact, you guys were chasing women.
We missed. So, all right, guilty. We missed the anniversary of Fukushima.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we'll hit it next year.
Okay. 6 years from now.
Okay, man. Listen,
hey, thanks for the call, man.
We appreciate the call. We're going to let you go give some others an opportunity.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, who's next, Steve? Jarrett, good morning.
Hi. So I was actually wondering about the other ballot measure having to do with the water. Is that on the ballot?
No. No, as far as I know, I mean, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but in the Portland area, the only water measure was the one on privatizing or moving the water system away from the city council.
Well, I signed a petition to actually turn it into a public trust. It was supposed to be a separate measure, which didn't...
Oh, no, that's a different measure. It's not on the ballot this time.
Okay. I also wanted to make a comment about the people who oppose marriage equality.
Yeah.
They are all mentally ill. They are seriously mentally ill. They're the same types of people that in other parts of the world did things like kidnap those schoolgirls to sell them off as slaves.
Well, I won't go so far as to accuse them of being mentally ill, or that they're the equivalent of people who enslave young women or girls. I think, however, they're mistaken, and I think they're living in a world at best that is ruled by a document that was ill-conceived and ignorant, that was written thousands of years ago.
What really is the difference between someone who'd want to sell off someone's children as slaves and someone who would stone a woman to death if they thought she was committing adultery?
Well,
it
there's
really
not...
seems comparative to me.
Well,
but that's not the issue.
Let's take a deep breath here. I think even the most conservative Christian in this country, the most vociferous gay marriage opponent, is still not going to call for his wife to be stoned if she commits adultery.
No, I grew up in Malala, and when I was a kid, I didn't go to the church that everyone else went to. My family was openly pagan in a town that's very, very, very conservative mm-hmm. Christian. Mm-hmm. And these kids were taught by their parents that they should run up to me, slap me in the back of the head, and say, when you die, you're going the same place the N-words go.
Oh, my.
And so I really, really understand the mindset of these people, and I don't see the difference between them and the Taliban.
Well, I understand what you're trying to say, that fundamentalist conservatism is a dangerous strain of thought, whatever form it might take. But
we need to shame them.
I'm with you there as well, but I don't think that you can point to the same sorts of acts of religious violence here. And granted, there are acts of religious violence that take place in this country, but not along the scale of what you see in, for example, very fundamentalist Muslim societies.
But I think your point, in a way, is true. That is to say, fundamentalism, whether it's whatever religion it's based on, whether it's Hinduism or Judaism
yeah,
or Christianity.
Bad idea.
Or Islam, is a bad, I think it's just a really bad way to look at things.
Yeah.
Well, the fundamentalism is just, it's just the flavor being applied to the mental illness, which in itself is narcissism. Narcissism is the basis of fundamentalism. It's the basis of racism, sexism. It's that what I am is better than what you are, and I have to punish you for not being what I am.
Well, I think it's an interesting position. I don't think Abe or I share it, but it's interesting to hear you say that.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks very much for the call.
Yeah.
Now, lest you call up and admonish me, I realize that acts of fundamentalist religious violence do take place in this country.
I was going to say.
They do. But I don't think that it's... our government is not in the grip of fundamentalism the way that perhaps, say, Saudi Arabia's
Well, but the Republican Party has adopted a kind of fundamentalist stance on almost every issue.
Yes, but I don't believe the Republican Party is calling for adulterers to be stoned.
Not yet.
No. All right. Who's next, Steve? Oh, looks like we don't have any callers.
Well, okay. So what happened today here on the show is I argued very strongly that this measure, this water measure, is poorly drawn up. And is, I believe, a device people who are very sincere about trying to gain control of the water system have, I believe, been manipulated by interests that have not the best interests of the people of the Portland metro area. And I think also that the city government and the people in the water business in this state and in this city have done very bad service and need to be challenged. I think the head of the Water Bureau needs to be replaced. I think there's a lot of things that need to happen. I don't think the solution is to create a separate government for water.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you.
But, you know, we'll see what happens today. The vote will be counted 8 o'clock tonight. We'll know the answer to this.
Well, how do you think it's going to turn out?
I think if... Here's my problem. For example, I opposed the fluoride measure for what I thought mm-hmm. were real scientific and valid reasons. I was afraid that it would pass, but it didn't. It was a groundswell of opinion. This is similar in the sense that there's a groundswell of anger against the city. So predicting is difficult. I believe that the existing system will be kept, and I don't think it's even going to be a close vote. But I don't know.
I don't know. I noticed that...
People who haven't voted, you should vote however you think.
The two big weeklies in town, the Willamette Week and the Mercury, both are advising a no vote. I don't know where the Oregonian came
out. No, they came in as a no vote.
As a no vote as well. Yeah, I really don't know how it's going to turn out.
No, I don't. But I actually think, I don't know if anyone's done any polling, but I actually think it's such a flawed measure, you know, that people won't go for it. Now, do we need some changes in the way the Water Bureau is operated? Do we need to change personnel? Do we need to change policy? Yes. But this doesn't necessarily do that.
You know, Joe, you ought to run for city council.
I did once.
Did you really?
Against Mildred Schwab. That was foolish.
When was this?
Oh, 82, something like that.
Oh, back in the Reagan years.
Yeah, back when I was a child. And I didn't know any better. It was horrible. I would never run for office. It's just so awful. It's just awful.
Yeah, it's not very appetizing
to me
either.
You wear a suit and you walk around. It's really horrible. People ask you questions not relevant. I got asked about, at that time, there was a war between England and
Argentina. Yeah.
I was asked what I thought about that. Hmm. And I said, well, you know, what I think about that's irrelevant because I'm running for the city council. Boy, that wasn't a good answer. Though had you really just asked me that in the abstract, I would have said, I'm with Argentina. I don't like Margaret Thatcher.
Looks like we've got a phone call. Who do we have, Steve? Oh.
No. Ooh. We what? No.
Oh, sorry.
It's
I just saw a light on the panel.
Here's what I want to say. I want to say that people should vote if you haven't voted yet. You've got our opinion, but there's plenty of other opinion, particularly on the water measure. I think that for all its flaws, and there are many, we have not yet come up with a good solution to the problem. I really believe in a gravity flow water system. I believe in open reservoirs. I believe that that the water system can be very much improved. I do not think we should mingle the waters of the Willamette, which are, and the Columbia, which is radioactive, with the water from Bull Run. And I think we should extend, not decrease, the size of the Bull Run watershed.
You're starting to sound biblical.
Yay!
Do not mingle the waters of the two streams.
Yeah, I agree. Lo, for it shall not be done that the radioactive waters shall pour into your mouth.
Thou shalt drink from one stream. That stream shall water your field.
And thou shalt not fluoridate thy water. Okay.
So also on today's program, we talked about the decision yesterday by federal judge Michael McShane to overturn Oregon's ban on same-sex marriage. Yay, good, well played, sir. Another blow struck for equality in the United States of America.
The caller said that the McShane is gay. I don't know anything about
him. He's one of a few openly gay federal judges currently serving on the bench. But you know, that's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. He cites the 14th Amendment, which...
Is Clarence Thomas asked to recuse himself, when the Voting Rights Act comes up for review?
Is Clarence Thomas asked to recuse himself when his wife is involved in right-wing politics?
No.
I mean, let's not even start about the American Supreme Court at its present state.
No. But I think the implication there that an openly gay judge...
would be biased.
Would be biased. Even if he is, it's the job of a judge to be biased in favor of... the equal protection of law, right?
Right. Well,
the equal application of the Constitution.
Would you argue that a heterosexual judge would be biased?
You could argue it.
It's the same deal.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, really. If the law is good, the law is good. If the law is bad, the law
is bad. Yeah. And McShane did the right thing.
I think so, too. And I think this is really important. I think it's time. First of all, in terms of the reality of the technology of reproduction today, the notion that marriage...
The technology of reproduction.
Well, no, the notion that marriage...
Leave the sperm in the airlock, Helen.
The notion that marriage is the key factor in raising families is silly.
Yeah, and the fact
that many gay people have children.
Yeah, they do. And really, the world hasn't flown to pieces.
And I really believe that people should have the opportunity to be responsible married partners.
Agreed.
Okay, so we're happy. We hope you are.
Yep.
You stay tuned.
Go out and vote.
Vote if you haven't. Stay tuned to KBOO for the best in opinion and music right now.
It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
I'm Shahid Hamid, and I want to invite you to a very special 8-hour Memorial Day Soul and Rhythm and Blues experience right here on KBOO 90.7 FM from 12 o'clock noon to 8 p.m. with JJ leading us off from 12 noon to 2 o'clock, followed by Sequoyna Wright from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m., followed by yours truly, Shahid, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m., and Reggae Bob taking us home from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., from the old to the new, just for you, a very special Memorial Day Soul and Rhythm and Blues experience. Monday, May the 26th, 12 noon to 8 p.m., right here on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, and online, www.kboo.fmradio.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Redirect Guide, committed to promoting progressive regional businesses based on the values of sustainability, localism, and social justice. Complete business directory at Resource Guide. Complete business directory and resource guide at redirect.com. Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's a minute after 9 o'clock. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on Alternative Radio, the guest is Jeremy Scahill, talking about the national security beast. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints features an update on the ongoing